Hi everyone, we're back for another episode after our time machine transfer window episode the other day. We're going to come back up to date and talk about what's going on in the current transfer window. We wanted to focus a little bit to start with on Dominic Calvert-Lewin. There's lots of rumours going around about him. He was heavily linked with a move to Newcastle, which seems potentially to have fallen through, but rumours about Chelsea, Man United, AC Milan circling for him as well. So it seems like there's a decent chance of him going. As we said previously, and we've said in our sort of private chats, I think we both agreed that of all the players coming into their final year of their contract, most of whom you think, yeah, it's sensible to move them out, I think we both agreed that Dom would be one that we would want to keep, really, and we'd run the risk of sort of losing him for nothing in 12 months just because of how important he is to the team and the quality that he brings. I still think that, to be honest, I would still keep him if possible. But the other thing I wonder is, can he be replaced in this window adequately for what we'll potentially bring in for him? Do you see any sort of obvious adequate replacements that we could realistically get?
Well, that's the difficulty, isn't it? Really, probably not. But especially for what he brings overall in terms of his aerial presence and his hold-up play.
Yeah.
And just the difference he makes to the team. But I think the problem is unless he signs a contract, then the club are probably their hands forced a little bit to sell him. But I know what you mean about do we take the risk of keeping him? I mean, if the club was in sort of a state where you could do that, I would, but I don't know if they are, because we've seen it before with other players who've got into the last year of the contract. They get sold, you know, and the problem is, do we want to hang around and he gets sold at the end of the window, a bit like Iwobi does, and he doesn't really get replaced? Do you know what I mean? You see my point?
Yeah, it's a fair point, yeah.
You'd rather if he was going...
Yeah,
you'd rather if he was going than he's going now, really, you know.
How much do you see us getting for him, though? Because I've heard some people quoting sort of between 35 and 40 million. In the last year of his contract, with his recent injury records, which, you know, hopefully seems to be over, and his big dip in form last season, do you see that as being realistic, 35-40 million?
No, but I think that's just the club setting a price that they can negotiate on, to be honest.
What would you be happy with, like, in a sort of, you know, realistic framework? What kind of sum?
Well, 25 to 30, really. Yeah. I'd say, I mean, there was talk of not a swap deal with Minta, but a sort of mutually beneficial PSR situation where we bought Minta for 30 and they bought Dom for around that as well. I think that could come up tomorrow again, you know, or in the days left of this, you know, PSR window.
Yeah.
As it's become farcically. But I don't know. It is a very tricky one, because I don't think we can really replace him. I mean, the names mentioned, Broya, I mean, he just does not convince me.
No,
he's got the wherewithal to replace somebody like Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who is our number nine, our first choice striker. He makes the team function.
Yeah, I'm not sure they're the same kind of striker, to be honest. I don't think Broya's really he can do the target man role particularly, you know, unless we're looking to play a different way. But he'd seem more, you know, more of a runner in behind, I suppose, closer to Beto in a sense than Dom. But Chelsea are asking for a lot for him as well, like 35 million, which seems unrealistic despite his age.
But again, did Chelsea need to sell? Would Chelsea come in for DCL? Would there be a deal to be done there?
They're one that's been linked as well. Yeah, them, United, exactly. And AC Milan.
I could see something happening in the next few days. I mean,
It seems likely now, doesn't it? I mean, it didn't seem like a particularly strong possibility, but obviously he seems to be open to the move, not necessarily like agitating for it, but from what little we know and can rely upon, it seems like he's open to the idea at the very least.
Yeah, and if he was staying, would he have signed the contract already? Probably. I mean, we've seen Coleman and Young have signed their contract. I know they're at different stages of their career. It's a less of a big contract. I mean, in Dom's perspective, it's his last sort of big contract of his career. So I can kind of get it. But he has talked about wanting to play in London before. And Chelsea and West Ham have been sort of muted. So we'll see. It's a tricky position for the club to be in, really. Because you need to know one way or another, don't you? Even if you're keeping him for like the season and he's going on a free, you need to know that as well.
Yeah.
You need to know, is he signing a contract? If he's not signing a contract, they're probably going to have to sell him just because of the PSR issues and can we afford to let somebody who's worth that much go out the door for nothing? I don't know.
Well, as you say, we'll see in the coming days, but it does seem to be a strong possibility. But I was thinking about the, you know, beyond the sort of like footballing reasons, I don't know if this, my sort of initial reaction, which may be unfair, is like almost feeling a little bit sort of let down by him, in the sense that, you know, he's kind of had 2 years out, and then, you know, Dyche has come in, finally got him fit and sort of firing again. And it just seems like a bit of a letdown that he now, potentially, if he does want to go, that he's now looking to leave. You know, on the other hand, you sort of understand maybe he wants a fresh start elsewhere after everything he's been through with the injuries and a difficult spell during last season. What do you think? Do you understand like his motives if he wants to go?
I understand where you're coming from, and it is frustrating because we've stuck by him for like a couple of years there where he wasn't fit, and Dyche has been the first manager who sort of, he hasn't played him when he hasn't been fit, and he's sort of nursed him back to full fitness, as we saw at the end of the season, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So you think, on that regard, that Calvert-Lewin would like to stay and carry on, you know, being the first choice striker and, you know, under a manager who's sort of worked with him. And also, like you said, the loyalty of the club and everything. And he has spoken about, you know, he loves the club and he's, you know, he's proud of being the number nine and everything. But I suppose there comes a point in everybody's career, do they want to try something different, you know?
Yeah. And he has been here quite a long time, hasn't he? I mean, God, how long has he been? Must have been
eight years.
Wow. So, you know, I suppose you can understand that it's a long time in any one place, isn't it? So maybe he wants that fresh challenge, and if it's a case of it working for all parties, you know, we get some money, he gets his move and whatever. It's just one of those things, you know, that initial reaction I had where I thought, oh, that's, it just seemed like a little bit of a letdown. But say maybe that's unfair. He has also taken stick from some sections of the crowd as well, which may play a part in his decision, I suppose. Or, you know, maybe it's all football based for him, which is fair enough, I suppose.
Was it the Villa game? He broke his cheek.
Yeah, and he got booed off.
A lot of stick, and his dad actually came out. I think there is an element of some of the fan base, and there's an element of, you know, his sort of stuff he gets up to outside of football that some people just can't seem to let go of. You know, the fact that he likes to wear different things. I mean, I think that's just pathetic. Really,
it is. It's just so fucking sad, isn't it? What the hell he does away from the pitch, you know, it's never affected his game. And he hasn't even done it for a couple of years. It's like 2 or 3 years since he last did a modelling gig, and everyone's still going on about it. I mean, fucking get over it. You know, I like all that stuff, to be honest. And I like the fact that it winds certain types of people up, you know.
Yeah. Whatever anyone wants to, how everyone wants to express themselves, you know, myself. I think it's just, I suppose he became a bit of a lightning rod for a lot of frustration for a lot of fans, because we didn't have a forward, did we? We didn't have somebody, but it's not his fault. He didn't want to be unfit. I think there was an element as well that he put too much muscle almost on his, I don't know, you know, you probably know a bit more about sports science and stuff than me, but it's almost like there was a point where he was huge in the upper body, and you did wonder if that was putting more pressure on his other parts of his body, you know what I mean? Because he seemed to be breaking down.
Yeah, it all seemed to stem from, I mean, I know it's easy to blame Benitez for everything that's ever gone wrong, but I do think it stems from him playing him when he was injured and forcing him back too soon more than once. I think initially he had a broken toe and he, you know, needed just a couple of games out, and he made him play, and then he had the shoulder dislocation, and I think he made him come back too soon after that, and he just sort of threw him back in more than once too soon, and then it just all seemed to kind of go wrong for him injury wise after that. You know, that might not be entirely accurate, but that's what seemed to be the case.
I think you're right. I think Lampard also played him when he wasn't fit.
Yeah, after saying he wouldn't, you know, after saying he'd give him all the time he needed, I think he at least once pushed him back like a few weeks too soon. And as you say, Dyche is the only one who took the proper long-term holistic approach to every aspect of his life, down to like his mattress he slept on and what car he was driving and everything. And, you know, finally got him fit and genuinely did give him all the time he needed.
I think because obviously under Carlo, he was banging them in, wasn't he? But I think that part of that comes down to not having a squad again. I mean, you can look at Coleman as well. Coleman suffered at times through injury because he's just had to play because we hadn't had another right back of a standard, you know?
Yeah.
So I think a lot of it stems back from not having a decent squad, to be honest.
Yeah.
And also, as I say, I think he went to Germany, didn't he, a couple of summers ago and sort of remodeled his body, you know? Because I think there was an element of he put a lot of weight on in different areas where basically it stopped his mobility and it kind of caused, like you said, he had one injury and then it would go into another and then he pulls something else. You know, that tends to be what happens.
Yeah.
With the finely tuned athletes, isn't it? So.
Yeah. And he takes, you know, the human body's a delicate thing, even when you're, you know, a top level athlete. But anyway, as you say, we'll see what happens in the next couple of days with Dom, but it does seem like maybe his time at Everton could potentially be drawing to a close. But I suppose just have to trust that there is a plan, because, you know, so far we do actually seem to have a coherent plan for the first time in a very long time, don't we? There seems to be an actual strategy in place.
Yeah, it does seem a bit more thought out, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, going from the Irabunum, is that what we say in his name?
Yeah, it's a silent G.
Yeah, so that was the first sort of sign, wasn't it? In terms of, we'd obviously scouted a young player that I'd never actually heard of. I don't know about you. I mean,
in all honesty, I hadn't. No,
barely played.
Say, oh yeah, I know all about him, but no, I've never heard of him. In all honesty.
And obviously working that deal with Dobbin around the PSR deadline was quite smart, really. And that it's not even a loophole. You've seen a lot of ridiculous stuff about it goes against the moral fabric of football and all this absolute nonsense.
Off. Yeah.
What moral fabric of football?
Yeah.
Two, what about last summer, when the Saudis were buying players for like 60 million that were worth, you know, Jordan Henderson.
Yeah.
that were worth nowhere near that. And, you know, and then you see things like Chelsea selling themselves hotels and things like that.
Yeah.
There is no moral fabric in football. And also it's absolutely ludicrous to yet again paint Everton as the bad guys when essentially it's just two clubs doing deals that they need to do. You know, they both like players and they're doing it's not a swap deal. They're two separate deals and they're not excessive. I mean, 9 million these days, it doesn't get you a lot. We paid about that for Garner and he had a good season in the Championship. That's about, you know, Irabunum, he'd had a good season at QPR. Dobbin, he's had some good loans out and he scored a goal last season. They weren't excessive fees. I just think the whole thing is just driven by people who, you know, they want to keep everything, you know, top six, picking off all the players for, you know. I think it all goes back to Branthwaite, doesn't it, essentially?
Yeah. Yeah.
But just on the back to the strategy, you know, going for younger players. We've also re-signed Harrison, haven't we, which is a good squad addition again, knows the club, had a good decent season, offers, you know, squad depth across the wings and the midfield and stuff. Re-signed Young and Coleman. So piecing together some decent stuff and then
getting it done early as well is the main thing, you know, getting it done prompt, which, you know, normally we just wait until the last minute all the time, aren't we? But now we've actually gone out and been proactive and got three deals, well, five deals done, if you count Young and Coleman re-signing.
Yeah, and then Ndai, is it? Is that how you say his name?
Ilman Ndai, yeah. I mean, that's the one that I'm a lot more excited about, to be honest. I mean, you know, Tim is one for the future. Harrison is a really good short-term signing. But
we already had him almost, so.
Yeah, but Ndai is just... He's not like the finished article or anything, and I know he's struggled a little bit for goals in Marseille, but I think he'll just offer something that we absolutely don't have, in that he's an attacking player who will drive with creativity from... And he's not a striker. He's more of a sort of a number 10 second striker, and he can also play wide, but he offers lots of things that we don't have, in that he's really good at like backing into defenders. He's not the biggest, but he's really strong at holding off and then spinning once he's got the ball into his feet. And he's also really good dribbling, running at defenders. He can do that either through the middle or from either wing. And I think he probably won't score a huge amount of goals. He might be like a sort of 7 to 10 goals a season, and certainly in the short term. But I think he'll create a lot more with his direct running, which is something we've really lacked, is someone who can just run direct at players, at fullbacks or in central positions. And I think he's a hard worker as well. You know, he's not afraid to track back, and he covers a lot of yards out of possession as well. So I think he's going to fit in really well. I imagine he'll play in that sort of the so-called Decore role, but we'll do that as a significant upgrade, who can do a lot more with the ball at his feet, which, you know, is where Decore kind of struggled. He was okay making those late bursts into the box, but Ndai is going to give you so much more in that role. Or indeed, he can play from either flank if needed as well. I suppose he's kind of, in some ways, the player we hoped Danjuma might have been.
Yeah, and I'm just going off his Sheffield United time, because I remember seeing him quite a bit then. And I really loved his dribbling ability and his ability to take on players. And like you said, got a bit of pace about him. He can play... I actually looked, and he played across the front line for Marseille. And I just, like you said, his stats on goal scoring aren't like massive, but he's going to be another option. Also, it gives us the ability to drop Decore to a deeper role, which he did really well against the likes of Brentford. Even in the derby, when he sort of like, it became more of a 4-5-1, didn't it, almost?
Yeah, he looked better, didn't he, towards the...
I actually think, as well as Decore's done in that 10, I think actually he likes being involved in the game, you know, a bit more.
Yeah.
And with probably Onana going, it'll be another option, experienced option in there. I still think we'd need another one when Onana goes, but...
Yeah, ideally another centre mid would be ideal. But yeah, if we get enough for Onana, then that should be a possibility. But yeah, I really look forward to Ndai. It's a shame, you know, if Dom does go as well. That's another thing about Dom. He's not really had the right partner a lot of the time. You know, occasionally he had Richarlison playing alongside him under Ancelotti, but he's not had like the right partner. I think Ndai potentially would be ideal to be playing off him, but that might never be the case, obviously, if Dom goes. So we will need a proper number nine who can get the best out of Ndai, because I don't think that's his best role, although, you know, he has played it. He certainly can do it, but I think you'll get more out of him with him running from deeper with the ball.
Again, he's another sort of runs onto it, isn't he, than a, you know, he's not going to be a target man if he plays up there.
No,
I mean, he could be like a split striker, couldn't he? But he's not a target man. But he can also play on the right. I mean, that's not ideal, but again, it's another option. Because we're not going to have a huge squad again, it's good to have options, isn't it? You know.
Yeah, you know, but, he's not three positions up, four potentially, if you count him as potentially playing as a number nine. You know, he could do three or four roles across the sort of the forward line or attacking positions.
Yeah, and it's another player that Kevin Falwell has kind of like been after for, because I think we went from last season as well, didn't we? We like last summer.
And when he signed his, we tried to get him on a free And then he signed a new contract, I think, with Sheffield United. And then we couldn't afford him when he went to Marseille. But we've obviously been in for him a couple of times, and we've sort of scouted him well, which is, it's good to see us going back and finally getting him.
What do you think of that kind of strategy of, like, having a player that you've scouted well and you go back for him time after time? What do you think of that? Does it show that, like, you're convinced of your actions, or does it show that you're just, like, you know, being lazy? What's your opinion on that?
you scout a player. Well, you scout a profile, don't you? You know, you need a player to fit a profile that you're looking for, and he obviously fits a profile. And it gets to the point where, you know, he becomes potentially available. We're likely looking at other targets for that type of role that they wanted, and then you find out he's maybe available, and then you can go back for him, and you've obviously already done your sort of scouting due diligence on him, so you don't need to sort of go into that, because you already know, because you've looked at him in some depth in the past. So I think it makes sense to go back for a player if they become available at a reasonable price. I mean, there's no point pursuing players relentlessly and then paying over the odds when you can just move on to other targets. I think it seems like a really sensible approach to me. Obviously, remains to be seen how he does for us, but I think it, as a strategy, it makes sense to me.
Yeah, I suppose it's better than just going, you know, grabbing anyone, is it, who's available. But on the flip side, we did go back for Dan Junior a few times, and I'm not sure. That didn't work, did it? That didn't work, you know. One thing I wouldn't say as well, I mean, you know, this is linked maybe to the takeover as well, and linked to sort of various people who are no longer at the club for various reasons, or whose influence has diminished, such as Machinery, that it seems to be a quicker and more effective strategy, doesn't it?
It seems to be put
in place earlier. I mean, often Ken Wright would almost, like, you felt like he would almost drag things out for the drama of it and then make it more about himself than actually what the team needed. And like you said, it's great to have a few players in for pre-season, because often we're waiting, and that never really helps, because it makes it disjointed, doesn't it?
Yeah, and they're not up to speed fitness wise they're not dice fit. They haven't had the benefit of his infamous gaffer days, which you can start doing early on with some new players, hopefully. But yeah, I think, like you say, it's streamlined the approach, hasn't it? Because notoriously in the past, like, other people at other clubs have said, you know, you couldn't get a straight answer from Everton because there'd be three or four people involved, and you couldn't just get a straight answer from one person. You'd then have to speak to someone else about another aspect of it, and then another person about another aspect, and then they'd have to get clearance from someone else. And it was just so convoluted that people just thought we weren't serious, you know, even if we were in for a player, or, you know, we were looking to sell someone. They just thought we weren't, you know, serious contenders for anything, because it was so convoluted and all over the place, the approach. But now, certain people not being part of it, obviously it's made it a lot simpler and more efficient, it seems.
Yeah, and people often talked about having, like, a London branch of the club and a Liverpool branch of the club.
Yeah.
And we saw it even with the takeover. It's like, you know, and especially with Mashiri as well, it's like, he'd sort of agree to one thing and then somebody else would come along, you know. So you can imagine that on transfers as well, you know.
Yeah.
So I think just having a clearer, you know, top-down approach, and just, you know, everybody knows what they're going for is much better, you know.
Yeah.
I suppose as well, maybe the fact that the takeover seems to be going ahead and it's somebody with, you know, proof of funds and everything, has actually given a bit of assurance as well. I wouldn't say, you know, it hasn't, like you said in the last one, it hasn't given us a transfer kitty or anything, but it may be, if we'd have been in a different situation, we might have had to have sold Branthwaite, DCL, you know, Onana before this PSR deadline. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It seems like that's not the case though, so. But it seems like we need to find a few sales before, and we'll get onto that, won't we? So.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously Dobbin's gone, and then there's a strong likelihood of Onana going, which has always been the case, and I think everyone's okay with that, as long as we get a decent fee for him. But yeah, the latest one seems to be Bayern Munich looking at him. Him and Arsenal seem to be the main contenders.
Yeah, I could see that happening after the Euros or when Belgium get knocked out, which might not be long because they haven't been that great.
No. He's done okay.
Yeah, he's been decent. He's looked, you know, he's looked good, which is what he is. He's good. Good number six. Yeah. It's what he is. He's not amazing, but he's a good number six, and he could develop into, you know, his physical attributes and his skill set in a better team, you know, unfortunately. Or a team that I'll put it more this way, in a team that suits kind of that passing kind of style, like an Arsenal or Bayern Munich or whatever.
Yeah. I think he'll do fine wherever he goes, yeah, and good luck to him. I don't dislike him the way some fans do, but I think it's good for him to move on. It's good for us that he moves on. And I think he'll prove his ability in the next few years wherever he ends up. But as you say, that's likely to be maybe not before the so-called PSR window at the end of this week. But strong rumours about Ben Godfrey going, which, you know, seems like another one that would suit all parties, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's been reported this morning that, Lyon have put in a £12.7 million bid, but he wants to actually go to Atalanta in Italy. So
what did they bid? I think they were
£10 million, but they'll probably be a compromise, won't they? I mean, there's not a lot in that, is there, really? I think he'll actually go this week because that'll probably make us safe then from any potential points deductions, which we really don't want, because we've still got that one hanging over us, haven't we? That stadium interest thing. So
that's right.
I don't know what's going to happen with that, but it might be one or two points again, you know, unfortunately. I don't know.
Yeah, so if Godfrey going obviously takes the pressure off in that sense. And I think, you know, around 10 million seems like a fair price, I'd say, for a sort of utility defender in the last year of his contract. It seems like decent business to me. I know we paid like well over 20 million for him, but the way sort of career's gone, the point in his contract, that seems like good business to me. Do you think?
I wasn't expecting him. I mean, I was thinking like 8 million or something.
Yeah, me too. I was thinking like 5 or 6, to be honest.
Because he's in the last year. He's had injuries. I think he's a good player, but if he had more time on his contract, I'd like to keep him. But and also it's all to do with finances, isn't it? You know.
Yeah.
I would hope. This is my hope. You know, I don't know if it'll happen. That we could also move Keane and Holgate and get somebody else who's a versatile defender who could, you know, maybe a younger player like we talked about. There was a fella from Burnley, I believe. I forget his name now. But is it Estevez or something? Anyway.
I can't remember. I remember the one you mean, yeah. But I think that's gone cold. I think that was nonsense rumours. But yeah, you know, someone of that type, a good young defender to sort of come through over the next couple of seasons.
Yeah, was the other one O'Brien in Lyon? There's another one who's been mentioned, but he may be more of a, if Branthwaite goes.
Yeah, but Greaves at Hull as well. Again, possibly as a replacement for Branthwaite if he was to go.
Yeah, if he doesn't go, maybe a younger player who can play right back or left back and centre back, who you could develop, who doesn't mind sitting on the bench, who's quite reasonable fee.
Yeah.
I just think some of these players like Holgate, Keane, they need a change. You know, the problem with those though, they're on huge wages, aren't they?
That's the thing, and getting them off the wage bill would be great for us. But you know, will people be willing to pay that? I suppose that'd be a case of being willing to take a very small fee for the likes of them, and Holgate in particular. You know, I'd take next to nothing for him, and Mopay as well. Surely is going to go, isn't he? At least on loan, you'd think.
Yeah, maybe somebody, if we couldn't get either of those out on a fee, maybe a loan with a view to a buy or something like that at the end, you know. But anyway, I mean, is there anybody else who is sort of rumoured to be coming in as well that we could talk about? I mean, mentioned Minter, didn't we?
Yeah, it seems potentially to have gone cold. But as you say, that might change as the window goes on. It seems like he wants to come to Everton. He doesn't want to go to Lyon, who are the other sort of main contenders for him. But I think we'll just have to see what we get in for the likes of Onana and some of the squad players, whether we can afford to go up to that. It seems like a lot to me. I know it's a young player with loads of potential and everything, but if we're getting up towards the 40 million, whether it's euros or pounds, I'd say that's stretching it a bit too far. I think we need to be keeping it more around the sort of 20 odd million bracket, even if we bring in decent money for Onana and the squad players. I think spending that much on Minter seems a little bit excessive to me.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think, again, I think it's a case of clubs valuing these players at a higher rate than they're actually going to end up selling them for. It's a bit like us with DCL, you know. It's people putting a price on something that they can negotiate. I think he'd end up going for like 30 million, around the 30 million, maybe with add-ons. But he's the kind of profile we need on a right wing with the pace and the... He's got a goal-scoring record, which is something we're going to need, you know, especially if Dom's going. There's not a lot of goals in that team, you know. We need goal scorers from different positions, you know. And the remaining players in the team haven't got massive, you know, goal-scoring records either. So I do like the way we're reshaping the team almost to... in a different manner, it looks like, almost, you know. The only dynamic. My only reservation about that is that what Dyche wants to do? We'll see. But
he's nice to have the option, isn't it? To do that, has he? You know, he's never had the chance to sort of like build a young team. You know, he's had to be pragmatic both in his time with us and at Burnley. You know, he did have some young, obviously, you know, McNeil being a good example of a young player he developed, but it was more a case of players that you could afford, that you could trust to do a job. And I like the idea of him potentially being able to build a team more from the ground up rather than just sort of almost going week to week, having a long-term strategy. There was one other player I think we both talked about, you know, talking about potential replacements for Dom. There's been no rumours or anything that I know of, but I was thinking about Elijah Adebayo at Luton.
Yeah.
If he would be available for, I'm not sure where he is in his contract, but you imagine he would be an affordable replacement, would he? Would you rate him coming in?
Yeah, I definitely think he'd fit the Dyche mold. I mean, I've seen rumours of 8 to 10 million bandied around. I mean, I would definitely take a punt on him for that.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's huge, isn't he? He's absolutely... The only question mark on him is he did have a few injuries, didn't he? But he's still got... like 10 goals, and you know,
yeah, and a team that struggled. And you know, I maybe saw him like 10 times, so you know, maybe sort of guessing a little bit on him. But from what I saw, he looked really good. You know, like I say, he's big, he's strong, and his touch is really good. That goal he scored against us was fantastic,
yeah,
you know, bringing it down, and that finish was excellent. I think he'd fit them all very well. He seems like a grafter as well, which we need up front, holding the ball up. But I say no rumours attaching us to him that I've heard. It's just someone that I think might fit the profile if Dom were to go.
Yeah, and he'd be a reasonable sort of price as well.
Mm-hmm. How old is he? Is he about 25?
26, I think.
Maybe a little bit older than the players we're looking at, but I suppose with strikers, maybe you need someone a little bit more experienced, albeit, you know, he's only had one season in the Premier League, of course, but
yeah, he's had he only played 20. I'm just loving a look at his stats now. He's played 27 times, scored 10 goals.
That's a decent rate, isn't it?
He's had a really sort of nomadic career. He started off at Fulham in the under 21s, and then he's gone Bognor Regis, Cheltenham, Swindon, Stevenage, Walsall, Luton. So he's had a real rise, sort of Jamie Vardy rise up the...
Yeah, I like that as pyramid. Well. It shows that he's, you know, really fought to get where he is. And, you know, a lot of the like current England players have had that, haven't they? That trajectory up through the lower leagues via loans and, you know, having to sort of drop down to come back up and stuff like that. That sort of adds to his appeal to me. But so hopefully there's a plan.
We were also linked with their right back, who's from City, isn't he? What's his name?
That's right, yeah. I'm trying to find his name now.
Is it Kabori or is it... let me check. Kabori City.
But
it's a Kabori.
You know, young player, can play wing back and right back.
Yeah, it's another position where it would be handy to have somebody. I mean, obviously we've got Patterson, Coleman and Ashley Young, but I'm just not, again, I'm going to go back to it. I just don't think Dyche fancies Patterson at all, to be honest.
No.
I think he might be sold as well.
Yeah, I'd say if we can find a decent replacement and a buyer for him, I'd say he probably, it's quite clear he's not really done enough for Dyche. But although, you know, maybe he's going to say, you know, a pre-season, you know, and give him another chance, maybe put him in his first choice to start with. But I don't know. I think I agree. If someone comes in for him and we've got a replacement potentially lined up, yeah, he probably will go.
I mean, this lad, I mean, he could play right back and right midfield. And I like the idea of these Luton players because they didn't play their system wasn't actually far away from ours in a way, you know. They're quite direct, but also, you know, a lot of pressing, physical, you know, physical output and stuff. So I think their players would fit straight into our team, to be honest.
Yeah.
He could play right back and right midfield. So that is really handy, isn't it? It's a real option, that.
Yeah.
And just looking at his career, he started off Man City. He's been on loan in Marseille, Luton, obviously. Yeah, and there may be some kind of deal again to be done with that young keeper they were on about. City were interested in ours. Although it is a bit of a shame that we have to sell all of our young talent.
Yeah.
You could probably make quite a good team out of all the young talent we've sold in the last couple of years. But then I suppose we're just not in a position to wait on young talent, are we?
No, not at the moment.
But then it's the, like I was saying to you offline, I mean, it's the PSR thing that makes you sell your young players because they're pure profit, aren't they?
Yeah.
But in a way, I think that kind of goes against so-called sustainability, doesn't it?
Well, it's forcing you to do the exact opposite of what you should be doing. It is ridiculous.
Instead of developing your young players, you've got to buy people in, you know?
It's and flog your young players as quickly as possible rather than trying to develop them. Yeah, it's farcical.
Like anyone we've had in the academy of decent, you know, prospect has been sold in the last few years. I mean, you could say arguably not any of them, you know, is going to be amazing, but you just don't know. And I suppose the position the club's been in, we just haven't had the time to wait on it anyway, have we?
No. And getting cash up front, you know, sometimes it's too hard to turn down, even like, you know, sort of 7 or 8 million for us at the moment, you know, and even now, it probably is too good to
take
on. And if we get sort of 8-10 million for a 16-year-old goalkeeper, again, we can't knock that back at the moment.
Yeah, if you look at all the players we've sold since, I think it's last July, August, going into this, you know, which is still the same window, it's going to be like 80 million altogether.
Yeah, which is good business, you know.
It is.
And there's an element of sort of regret about it that you are selling youngsters, but as you point out, maybe few, if any, would necessarily have been first choice, first team players anyway. So you have got to look at the...
But then you've got to restock the... It is a bit crazy because then you've got to restock the youth ranks. And we seem to be doing it. We bought a couple of like Irish lads in, haven't we?
Mm.
Which I don't know a lot about, but there's one's a striker, I think.
Yeah, the lad from Linfield who's going to go straight to the under-18s.
It's a bit mad, though, isn't it? It's like you have to buy in players just to replace the players you've sold.
Yeah.
To satisfy PSR. It's just, we could go into that. Maybe we need to do a whole pod on PSR. I know it's been done to death, but maybe just like a 20-minute thing, not like on how, I don't know, how it doesn't work and like how what would be a better system.
Pretty much anything at the moment because it's
crazy. And then you get people saying, oh, you cheat. It's like, well... The whole thing is, like I said before, the whole thing is a farce anyway.
Yeah.
It's created an artificial deadline day, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, we've now got two windows, effectively. We've got the Sunday's so-called PSR window and then the official end of the window in August or September or whenever it falls. So, but obviously that means more probably will be happening this week and it may force clubs into more activity sooner than the normally would have. So I think we'll probably have more to talk about, even like in a week's time. There'll be quite a lot going on. So I think we can probably come back in a week's time and have quite a lot.
Is it just anybody else you'd mention, like has been linked that, or just
no one's.
I suppose we've gone through it all, haven't we?
I think we have. Yeah, I know it's been kind of obvious sort of strong rumours, and that's when you'll know. I think in the next few days, as we get to the end of that artificial deadline. that's when things will happen.
I've got a hunch that that Minter might happen. I don't know why. I suppose it's because it's been said that he's agreed to come to us. But I suppose it's all about whether we can strike a deal, isn't it? I suppose.
Yeah.
And they seem to rate him really highly, but.
Is there a compromise to be found?
Yeah, I think Newcastle need to sell him as well. And I think all that stuff about Leon paying 40 million euros is rubbish, to be honest. I don't think Leon can afford to play 40 million euros. What about the Branthwaite situation? We haven't really touched on that.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to go. I feel more confident than ever that he's going to stick around for at least another season. Yes. Unless, someone comes in with a sensible offer that works for us, he'll go. But, the way Man United are trying to fuck us about, I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to go to them.
No.
I mean, I feel more confident that he might stay for another season, but until the window shuts, I don't think you can ever rule it out.
No, definitely not, because, as I say...
One of these super clubs are going to come in with, like, an 80 million, you know?
Yeah, then we'd have to think, okay, well, that's a good offer, and we'll have to think seriously about that. And under those circumstances, you'd think, fair enough, if it's on our terms, then okay, if we've made the decision, but people trying to fucking lowball us and take the piss, then
yeah,
no chance. But he's another one. You want to keep as long as possible, but you'd accept him going maybe the end of next season or even this window for the right kind of price.
Not to be thing. I know Man United are one of the two biggest clubs in the world, but like as a team, why would he, would he be desperate to get to Man United at the moment? I don't think he would.
Not necessarily. He'd probably be keener to play where he's happy for another season and see what happens with their sort of so-called project.
He has another good season. He'll be going to Real Madrid, Man City, PSG. You know, like one of these super clubs.
Ceiling is massive, isn't it?
It's huge.
If he develops the way he has over the last couple of seasons with us and PSV, he could be one of the best defenders in the world in the next few years. He's that good. Some people don't seem to realise quite how good he is that don't watch him week in, week out, obviously, because he's not at a fashionable club, but he's potentially, one of the best in Europe, if not the world, in a few years' time. So you've got to play accordingly if you want to play with that kind of level of potential.
Yeah, there's a snobbery, isn't there, almost? It's like, he's coming from Everton. It's like, well, Stones came from Everton.
Yeah.
Look at the players we've sold in the last Rooney, Gordon,
Yeah.
Although at the time, I didn't really think Gordon was going to be as good as he's turned out to be. Although,
you have to admit, he's developed well, hasn't he?
He has, but his attitude kind of pisses me off in a way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's a little gobshite. But
he's got this attitude that, like, anyway, I don't really care about it. You know what I mean? I don't know. I haven't actually thought about him much since he left.
We got good money for him,
Plus, when I found out he's a Liverpoolian, a Liverpool fan, I just thought, well, yeah. See you then.
Yeah.
And we got a good deal for him, essentially. 45 million, still a good deal for him. He'd had a really bad season up until then, anyway, hadn't he?
Yeah, he sold him. So we got good money, and
he has kicked on, to be fair to him.
Yeah.
He has kicked on. And I do, I don't mean his attitude in terms of playing football. His attitude's really good in that, but just his attitude of like how much he rates himself is just like, something a bit sickly, sort of mercenary footballer about it, isn't there?
Yeah.
Sorry, anyway, I'm talking too much.
That's okay. But I think the next few days there'll be a lot more ins and outs. And I think if we come back in a week's time, there's going to be a few more, hopefully, to talk about. So I think we should do that then. Leave it there today.
Yep, good idea.
Okay, well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon. Up the fucking toffees.
Up the toffees.